Beschuss der Rabbanim of the Yeshiva. I wanted to first say Divrei Haracha for my Rebbe, his Yahrzeit is today. I would not have known, but Judah, Shanza Shlita, told me that Hagoyim Nisim Alpet Zatzal, his Yahrzeit is today. So I thought I would say a few words about him. This Goyin, Rabbi Nisim Alpert, was the Talmud Muvok of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. And probably through him I was zochet to meet Rabbi Moshe umpteen times. Umpteen means many, many times. He came to the United States from Europe and he went to a public high school. Public school. I assume you know what that is. Hopefully not. But he went to a public school. And he came, I believe he was about 13 or 14 years old. And 3 years later, he was the valedictorian of this high school. Which means he obviously acquired the English language in a pretty short period of time. And unfortunately, his father was very sick for many years, and as he told me, public school, public high school, I don't know what it is today, but then it was, more or less, he went to school from 8:30 or so to 1:30. Kimo Medinat Yisrael, similar to the school system over here, which to me, I'm talking about Mamachi Dati, as opposed to the other systems, without getting into that, that's not my issue right now. So, as a result, what was he supposed to do the entire afternoon? So he lived in the Lower East Side of Manhattan, and he discovered a yeshiva called MTJ, and he started hanging out at the yeshiva. MTJ, Mesifet Tiferes Yerushalayim, Yeshiva Shem Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. As a result, he developed a connection with Gadol HaDor, and Anoshim came his Rebbe, probably for the next, he was nifter, unfortunately, relatively young age, in his late 50s. But he had a connection with Moshe Feinstein for approximately 45 years. Talmud Muvok Rav Moshe for about 45 years. However, that was not his derech and learning. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Rav Moshe's derech and learning. I don't know if you can define his derech. Misha Sholet B'chol HaTorah Kula, what's there to say? I don't know if he has a derech and learning. Of course he has a derech and learning. His derech and learning involves B'chol HaTorah Kula, knowledge of every single, there's not a Rashi in Tesis he didn't know. I think I mentioned, maybe not to all of you, but about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, Rav Moshe Feinstein's son, his oldest son, Rav David Feinstein, Hagoyin Rav Feinstein, who was a Chabrusa Rav Nisim Alpert, I'll get to that in a few moments, so he passed away. So I went to him for about 10 years, approximately 10 years. The last 15 years I went every year, Lower East Side, Nasati B'Shal Yeshiva. So I used to go to Rav David Feinstein and ask him, Ki'ilu, Stirot in the Igros Moshe. You know what Stirot are? Contradictions in the Igros Moshe. Kilo there are contradictions in the Igros Moshe. The other contradictions there are Avishai David. But anyway, so I would come with pieces of paper. I xeroxed this tshuva, xeroxed that tshuva, and would show Rav David Feinstein and show him the stira in Rav Moshe. How do you resolve the stira? So when he got to know me, so the first time already he got to know me, I must have spent an hour with him the first time. And then I made it my business, Ovum Kavua, every single year I used to do that. So he told me, he said, Rabbi David, by my father, there are no stiras. What my father wrote 70 years ago, he remembered 70 years later. No stiras. Your problem is, you learned by my cousin, namely, Rabbi Yashaber, that's what he called it, his cousin. You learned by my cousin. You're used to being medayik every vavachibur in the Mechavas Hashem of the Ramban. You think my father is the Ramban. My father was not the Ramban. He was certainly one of the Gdolei Ador, but he was not the Ramban. So why are you making... Anyone ever read, I'm sure some of you may have read the Igros Moshe, any tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein, on any topic he often transliterates, subway, samach, vav, beis, yud, vav, yud, yud. Anyone ever saw that? Anyway, so from that you're not going to go and ask Stiris. That's what he told me. Okay. Rav Nisim Alpert hung out at MTJ, but that was not his main rebbe. So I asked him once, who's his Rebbe? So he told me, Rabbi Michael Feinstein. Who's Rabbi Michael Feinstein? The son of the Briskov. May have heard of the Briskov? Briskov is Abba Soloveitchik's uncle. Abba Soloveitchik from Boston, his uncle was the Briskov, his father's brother. His father was Amosh Soloveitchik. His uncle was Rabbi Elder Soloveitchik. So what connection does the Briskov have to Rabbi Nisim Alpin? So Rabbi Michael Feinstein, the son of the Briskov, in the 30s, he came to the United States to learn where? In a kollel in Boston. Boston, Massachusetts, had a kollel.
Yer Kodesh.
What was that?
Yer Kodesh.
I'll try to maintain my... Okay. When I came, when I was in Toronto, it's called Toronto, Yushalayim, it's on America. I don't want to tell you my reaction to that. Come on, let's slide. Anyway, the Kitur, well, he was at Boston, you're a Kurdish. Anyway, so, Rav Michael Feinstein came to a Kurdish called Heichal Halevi. Heichal Rav Moshe Halevi, which was essentially Heichal Rav Chaim Halevi, sorry. It was called Heichal Rav Chaim Halevi after Rav Chaim Brisker. Rav Soloveitchik set up a Kurdish in Boston. What did they learn in that Kurdish? Kochim Zroyim Mataras. That was basically the Kurdish. He was there for 2 years, Rav Michael Feinstein. And then the Kollel disbanded in 1940 because Rabbi Soloveitchik's father passed away, and Rabbi Soloveitchik went to YU, Shi University, and as a result, the Kollel disbanded. And where did Rabbi Michael Feinstein go? He went to his mishpacha. He's a Feinstein. He's a cousin of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. Mamela, he went there to MTJ for 2 years. Who met him? Rabbi Nisim Alper. And he became his Rebbe, Bris Gederach. That's where Rabbi Nisim Alper, that's how he got to Bris Gederach, from his connection to Rabbi Michael Feinstein. I recently told over, there was a great rabbi, great rav in Memphis, Tennessee, who also was Nifta, going to Nutter Greenland. So I met him 40 years ago at a chasana of Sadek Dusha in Memphis. And I sat with him 3 hours at a chasana. And he also told me about Rabbi Michael Feinstein, who was his rebbe as well. Fascinating, because he was also part of that kollel. Heichal Halevi in the 30s in Boston, he learned in that kollel by Rav Soloveitchik as well. And he described the rav, I don't know how to even, he was a very young man, he told me. How old was he? 16 or 17 years old. And he said he was in front of a personality who was a colossal personality. He described him in such majestic terms, the Rav. The Rav was also a young man, very young man. He was young, even younger than the Rav. Okay, so that's Rav Michael Feinstein. I'm Nisim Alpert. By the way, Shamati me Rav Notter Greenblatt. Zeb Shil Rav Eliezer Shlipan. I asked Rav Notter Greenblatt. He was here in Eretz Yisrael between the age of 8 and 12. There's some noise. Am I dreaming? He was here between the age of 8 and 12 in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Notter Greenblatt. His parents. What is it?
How's my phone ready?
My phone?
Someone's phone.
Oh,
it's
one.
Is it still
recording? Is it possible to somehow. Okay. Anyway, so I asked Rav Notter Greenblatt. He was here between the age of 8 and 12. And he became very, very, Rav Notter Greenblatt is this rabbi in Memphis who passed away a few weeks ago. And he was a man in the late 90s. And he came to Eretz Yisrael between 8 and 12 years old. He learned by one of the Gdolei Yerushalmim. No one knows of him here. And I barely know of him either. His name was Avchaikel. What was his last name? I now forgot the last name. But this Avchaikel, Rav Notter Greenblatt told me, what was his last name? I don't remember his last name now. You showed me. This Avchaikel was the Rebbe of the Fisher Brothers. This is what I heard from Rav Notter Greenblatt. So I said, Fisher Brothers? You mean the toy company? There's a big toy company, Fisher Brothers. No. There are three brothers Fisher. Hagoyim Avshalma Fisher, Hadayim Fisher, Ve'od Ach. And he was the Rebbe, this Avchaikel, that was his last name, was the Rebbe of these Fisher Brothers. Okay. He made a joke, Rav Notter, trying to be joking with this Anglo Ami 40 years ago, etc. At the chassidah that I met him. So anyway, I asked him, did he ever meet Rav Kook Zatzal? Kach Sha'alti, Rav Notter Greenblatt. So he did. Ech. He became very sick, very, very ill. In Eretz Yisrael, he was, I think, 12 years old. Before his bar mitzvah, he told me, because they left before his bar mitzvah, they went back to Chutz Aretz. And so his father took him to Rav Kook Zatzal to get a bracha. So Rav Kook Zatzal asked the father, what bracha do you want? And he was holding on to his hand, I don't know if you realize yet, for 15 minutes. He was a Talisman filling, holding on to his hand for 15 minutes, he told me. And he said, I want a bracha that he should become, first have Refuah Shleima, number two, become a Talmud Chacham, number three, have a Rechus Yomim. He said, two of the brachas go mekuyim, were fulfilled. Baruch Hashem, he had a Refuah Shleima, he had a Rechus Yomim. He doesn't know if he was a Talmud Chacham or not. That was the most hilarious statement that he made. I'm not agreeing, but to me, it's Shalit and Dalach and Shulchan Aruch, unbelievable. I never saw anything like it. Such a normal, normal person, mind-boggling. And then I asked him, what language did Rav Kook speak to you? So he said, Rav Kook, this is what he told me. That's Rechem Barer, Rav Eliezer. Rav Kook, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, decided, I'm only speaking Lashon HaKodesh, only in Hebrew. But he spoke Lashon HaKodesh, Habor Ashkenazis, like Avraham Shapira, the Rashi Ben Bekazara. That kachu amadim, kach shamati, repeat kotcha. Okay, so now, back over here, Rav Nissim Alper, that's what I'm talking about. His yard site is today. So he learned Rav Michal Feinstein. So we were zochet, those of us who were in the yeshiva in YU, were zochet to, Rav Nissim Alper came to the yeshiva. I don't know if I should tell of this next little tidbit, which is perhaps a bit somewhat controversial. You know, it's like when you bring someone from outside, and like a foreign plant, so right away, there's resistance. There are plenty of people on the campus who want to be Rosh Yeshiva. And all of a sudden they, what's the term? When you import someone, but there's another term that's used. Okay. There's a term in English that describes this phenomenon. It's really
transplant.
No, not transplant. There's a stronger term. Okay. So they bring him in and they decide he should be a high school rabbi. I'm going to need some help. It was a man who was shaylet b'chol ha-Torah kula. He knew the entire Torah. Lamdin muflok. Became a high school rabbi. And apparently one day in the elevator, the Rav Zatzal met him. Rav Shabbat. Anyway, 15 minutes later, after they talked and learned, he became a college rabbi. That's what happened. Didn't take long. Maybe he used to come to the Rav Shurim. Very often he came to the Rav Shurim. And in the Rav Shurim, the Rav spoke in English, in my days. And the Rav would say some rather wild chidushim, rather creative chidushim. And Nissim Alper used to comment. Very few people could talk in the Rav Shir. No one would open up their mouth, with the exception of Rabban Lichtenstein, Rav Elshel Shefter, Rav Menachem Ginnack, and one or two other notables. Don't worry, Avishai David didn't open up his mouth, he was congealed. And that's me. And who else opened up his mouth? Rav Nissim Alper. In Yiddish. He used to speak to the Rav in Yiddish. And the Rav answered him in English. Because that was the Safa, Amiduberet, that was the vernacular. So we saw quickly who Rav Nissim Alper was, didn't take long. And then we started going to Shurim. He used to give Shurim in the morning and at night. He said Shurim at Chumash in the morning. Twice a week, there's a two-volume sefer called Yibud Nissim Alper. Someone told me it's translated to English. I don't know if it is or it isn't. Banglit, Gamkin, Yibud Nissim. And he wrote, and I heard him, and then at nighttime he said Shurim in the yeshiva until about 12 o'clock at night. There was a group of us that went, Malachim Gerak, Chaim Nilsen, Moshe Tversky, Zechatag Lebroch, Hashem Yikomdomov, and Avishai David was among this group as well. And we heard for about 15 years, heard Shurim from Rav Nissim Alper. And all Maseches Beitza, and all Brochas, during the program, during different periods of time, most of Avodah Zarah, Mishnah Yisir, Mishnah Yisir, Zvalyim, Taras, all kinds of stuff all over the place. A small group of people, and then we heard on Chumash, Chumash Shurim as well. In the morning, we used to hear from him. And I used to skip out of my shiur to listen to him, and he was a remarkable person. Very accessible, very friendly, very warm. Spoke English with a very strong accent. Yiddish was much more clearly of his, really, where he was at. But he also, at one point, decided to take us to see his Rebbe, Moshe Feinstein. We went umpteen times to his Rebbe, but we saw the following. We saw him being Mishamish his Rebbe. That was astounding in and of itself. I once saw him, we come to the Beis Medrash, and it was clear the light bulbs were, and there were four LED lights, there weren't LED lights at that point in time, and we come in, Rav Moshe Feinstein looks like he's about to change a bulb. I almost flipped out. The God, Lord. Quickly, Rav Nissim Alper is there, and before you know it, Rav Moshe is now sitting on a chair where he belongs, in a shtender, And Nisim Alba runs to change the bulb. Of course, the Talmid immediately wouldn't let the Rebbe, Nisim Alba, change the bulb. But he insisted on changing the bulb because he's Meshamish the Gol Ador. That's what he did. And we saw this many times. Rav Moshe needed something. He ran to get Rav Moshe a glass of water, this, that. It was unbelievable just to watch, to see what was going on there. He was an astounding person. Remarkable Jew. Mechadish Mufla. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Tzatzal, told me when he was Nifta. I asked him, how did he see Rav Yisrael Malka? So he told me, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Rav Salvation son-in-law. Els Gevan in Yiddish, he told me, Els Gevan a Chetzer of Ashtikul Torah. You know what a Chetzer of Ashtikul Torah means? How do I translate that, Rav Yud? Whatever he said was Ashtikul Torah. What does that mean? Whatever topic he discussed, it was Ashtikul Torah. And often he discussed current events. He knew what was going on in the world. How did he know? He read a paper. You hear that? He read a newspaper. I don't know if you read the newspaper. You don't read, probably. Not just you, you collectively. Do you still know how to read? People know how to, A, B, C, D, they know that?
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Wow, you're advanced. Anyway, so the he read a newspaper. So we used to go with him. He used to eat lunch, often across the street, in Greasy Spoon. I don't know if anyone here knows Greasy Spoon. There was like a luncheonette across the street. And we used to go across the street with him. And he would take out the New York Times and start dashing for the New York Times on the events that happened in the world and say all kinds of unbelievable chidushin in events that happened in the world. So we heard from him, his hashkofas on the world at large. Often he spoke about Eretz Yisrael. He loved Eretz Yisrael. Abad nefesh. I tell you, these European rabbanim, there's nothing like that. They have appreciation. I told over, they didn't hear this from me, but we used to have, what do they call these assemblies? When I was in high school in YU, they had assemblies. I used to come to the assemblies. You know what an assembly is? Where they get together in the Lamport Auditorium, all the Rosh Yeshiva there. That's when I used to hear Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal, the 60s. So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik used to sing the national anthem, and these Rosh Yeshiva, the European Rosh Yeshiva, they couldn't speak English. Yiddish was their native tongue, and so they would try, you know. It was unbelievable. I used to laugh and laugh. I used to love it. I love those assemblies just to hear the Rosh Yeshiva sing the national anthem. The United States the national anthem. Couldn't get past it. And then they sang Hatikva. That was usually at the end. They sang Hatikva. Now these Rosh Yeshiva weren't so familiar with Hatikva either, with the exception of Aaron Soloveitchik. He knew the Hatikva. He knew the national anthem. He's also European. But he was a lawyer. And he learned English. So. And he used to sing Lios am kodosh b'yartzeinu. So I'm 13 years old. I run over to him after the assembly. He made a mistake in the nusach. It doesn't say am kodosh. It says am chofshi. So I was surrounded by a group of people much older than I am. There was this chutzpan, who was this whippersnapper, goes over to Rabban Soloveitchik to correct him. So Abraham looks at me very seriously. Chofshi! Chofshi min amitzis! Chas v'shalom! Screaming at the top of his lungs. That's a Gemara Brachas, which I'm sure you're familiar with. Chofshi min amitzis, how's that possible? I'm kodosh v'yartzeinu. And every time he used to sing that. So then I went over to Abraham to sing. And how could he change the nusach? So I told him, he's enough of a gobble, he can change the nusach. And then I went to Abraham to sing the second time he did it. He's like a chaytin yiska. He's a recidivist. He repeats his chatoin. Continues to say, I'm kodesh. So he said, do you know who the machaber was? The author of that anthem? He wasn't exactly a shame that Taylor meets his. That's what he told me. Okay. Abisam Alper did not know how to drive. So he lived on the Lower East Side. So how was he supposed to get to the yeshiva and back? We used to drive him. Early in the morning, someone picked him up. He had a Torah Nud, Rabbi Steiner. Someone in the morning picked him up. Someone brought him back at 12 o'clock at night. Trust me, he was G'day. Just to have that association with him, just to be connected with him. And I'll tell you one last story, because I'm supposed to say some sort of a shiur and keep it over there. That's what Rabbi Judenschlicht invited me for. In 1985, Anissa Malba was invited. There was the 50th Yahrzeit of Akum Satsang. He was invited to be one of the speakers. There were several speakers. Rabban Soloveitchik was one of them. There were a few other speakers, and he was one of them as well. He had a chaver, a member of the Mesech Dili HaTorah. Only the Rabbein here in the Yeshiva know whom the person is. I won't mention his name, and you'll see why in a moment. Why not? He was very close to Anissa Malper. And he told them not to go. He said, that was not from unsere Menschen. Rav Kook is not from unsere Menschen. How do I translate that? He's Lomi Anche Shlomeinu. How do I translate that?
One of us.
He's sort of out of the box. So Nissan Alpha told this Ashur. I'm a very sick person. At that time, he was very sick. It was the last year of his life. His lungs had collapsed. And he said, I need chusin, I need suyot, I need merits. Who greater than Rav Kook, the Oyev Yisrael Shein Kamo, could give me those suyot? And he used to call Rav Kook all the time. That was the pelamet. Not just the parish of Rav Kook, the Rav, Rav Salvation, only called the parish of Rav Kook and the Siddur. Because he said, the rest I don't understand. That's what he claimed. Anyway, but Nisim Alpha quoted other things from Rav Kook as well. He was someone who quoted everyone. Everyone. I'm not exaggerating. He was not mafchid. That's what I learned in my lifetime. Why should we be mafchid? They are beautiful Sfaradim, they are beautiful Ashkenazim, they are beautiful Teimanim, beautiful Chassidim. That's what I saw. A smorgasbord right in front of me. So anyway, he spoke. Unfortunately, I wasn't present, Jay said. I was in Toronto. Stuck in Toronto. Toronto is a city in Canada. Canada is a country north of the United States. Maybe you're not familiar with it. 51st state. Anyway, so the... But I immediately, it was recorded for me, and I heard what he said about Akum Satsal, which was absolutely, I don't know how, even how to describe it. He called him Kadosh V'Tor, Malach Hashem Tzvokos. There's a book, it's called the biography of Akum. There are several biographies of Akum. Malach Hashem Tzvokos. We don't really have a saga of whom Rav Kook was. He was a giant beyond giant. So this was my Rebbe, Rav Nissim Alper, and I have a kesher with him. And matter of fact, my kesher with him was 20 years. 20 years of the kesher of Nissim Alper. Yeah, I mentioned already in my chasana, so I don't want to say whom it was. Asolesi was supposed to be Masada Kedushin. He calls me up there, the chasana, he can't do it. A third cousin is getting married in Boston. So why she did not come to my house? Her third cousin is even kosher labels. What's the problem? Why can't he be beside? He said, no. By the brisket, he told me, Mitzvah is a salad. Mishpach is everything. So I was depressed. What else? Befuddled. Confounded. And then he tells me, is there no other rabbi coming to the wedding? No, there was no other rabbi except for him. There were about 20 rabbis, but he's the rabbi. What was the discussion? So then he said, go, let me hear the list of rabbonim. We'll see who qualifies. So I stopped listening. Rabbi Lichtenstein, nah. Rabbi Shechter, nah. Anyway, came to a certain rabbi. I go to Noach Weinstein. That's all. Oh! He's the one. He's the Talmud of Briscoe. And I saw that had a connection with him. Very close connection with him that I discovered. With his son Shmuel. I don't know if you knew Shmuel Weinstein. That's all. To play basketball with him. Chaim Wilson, the whole Chaim. Anyway, Chaim was not such a good basketball player. But anyway, Kitzer, not as good as me. Just better than everything else. But, comes to the wedding, and this Briscoe Talmud was never Sadek Kedushin in his life. I didn't know that. But Rav Gerelik, who was his chaver, told me to bring a few ksubas. I quickly went to buy some ksubas. Fine. First ksuba he sees, he passes me out. Why? It's against the Ramban, the Chidush Ramban Ksuvis. So what do I know? I never heard of Ksuvis. Forget about Chidush Ramban. So he passed the Ksuvis. Second Ksuvis he tore up in 2 minutes as well. I have one Ksuvis left. So a girl said to me, this is Mokum Asukam. So Mokum Sakona, we better get him out of the picture. Get the one with the Chidush out of the picture. How did he do that? They asked him Akashi and Kochin. He forgot he was at the Chasana. They moved him to the side. Quickly, Avisham Alpha comes in, and 1, 2, 3 fills out the ksuba. No problems at all. Everything was fine. Go out. Everything's perfect. And before we know, we're under the chuppah. And then the Tzadik Dusha asks, Abu's the ksuba? Where's the ksuba? They won't show it to him. They're afraid he would pass it under the chuppah. And then I'd be a goner and have any ksubas left. Everything was taken care of by Avisham Alpha. Including, I didn't know the kasha. But there was a kasha and kochin. So Rav Nissim Albert had that discussion with the Sadi Kedushin as well, and that kasha and kochin under the chuppah. So this is Rav Nissim Albert. And the picture I have of him is someone that I could always call, always connect with. I'll tell you another story. I went to the Menachem Avil when Rabbi Scheinberg was nifter. Never heard the name Rabbi Chaim Pichas Scheinberg? He was an American Gadol. He talked about the Yankees. He's an American Gadol. Went to Europe, learned by Abba Chaver, by Kamen Tzalash Hashiva. He was an astounding person. Very open, also incredibly open. So the old Anglo-Saxon thing, the Patuach. Tell you man. So I go to Menachem Avil. So who's sitting Shiva? His son, Rav Simcha Scheinberg, Shashem Yaruch Yom, Rav Schneisov, and his Rebbe, and his sister, who just passed away, Rebbetzin Zelda. Zelda Alper, that's what Nissim Alper's Rebbetzin. He passed away a very young man, and she lived for many years, till Mamish recently. So she was there. So Rav Simcha Scheinberg, who I know for many years, he says to his sister, Zelda, do you know who this is? That's me. She looks at me and she says, yeah. Simcha, I know who that is. That's that nundik who used to call my husband at 2 o'clock in the morning. So I thought she was praising me. Well, no, wasn't it Rabbi Solomon a shadow? Obviously it was a shadow. Anyway, that's my connection with my Rebbe, Agur Elisan Alper. He left apparently 50 boxes of ksavim. Nothing has been done with him. Rabbi Yudin, Manaseh. So I spoke to his son-in-law many years ago, but now it's not Pashut, as you understand the situation. And that's Lakol Nishar Shama, Lakufsot, Lakartonim, Mechadish Nifla. As Aaron said about him, Achetzer Shikotel, was such a normal, wonderful person. I spoke to him for 20 years. I didn't move without him. I used to call him all the time, even 2 a.m. in the morning. I mean, I do that. That doesn't trouble me so much. I once called Rav Nevinson at 4 a.m. So the only problem was his Revinson allowed Shaul to answer the phone. His previous Revinson, she passed away, he's remarried, a cousin. So she picks up the phone. She says to me, Harav David. And how'd she know who I was? She knew me. Harav David, yesh lecha shaon? Do you have a watch? I said, okay, but it's not on my hand. So I wasn't aware at the time. I thought maybe it was 11 o'clock in the morning, as opposed to 4 a.m. Atara gilit kasher la'anashim be'ara lefnot boker? She asked me, is that what you normally do? I said, yes, I do. Maybe her husband. That was like, oh, many times. Usually he answered the phone, so it wasn't a problem. But hey, you think that's a proper thing to do? He answered the phone. Is that by now? See, Rabbi Hayden gives his askam. Rabbi Schneider gives his askam. Stigl point no. Anyway, so I used to call out Nissim Albert, that's how, very often. I wanted to leave, I really didn't expect to do this, but I'll get to the shiur shortly. I wanted at one point to have Eliezer, la'azov sdeh chinuch. I had enough. I went to school. That means I just love teaching high school students. It's really, they were the elixir of my life. I was enamored of them. You guys are like Ganeden, like people learning in Punovich. But I didn't teach exactly that group. I taught at NEET in New England, New England Academy of Torah. We used to call it the New England Academy of Therapy. Anyway, the kids are all rushing tables. So I went to Rav Nissim Alper. I said, I want to leave chinuch. He told me, under no circumstances. So I said, what do you mean? I have bechira. This is a democratic world. You can't tell me what to do. So he said, you're right, I can't. But I'm giving you Eitzah Tova advice. And I'm going to send you to Rabbi Dovi Ador. What in heaven's name is that all about? So I thought he was going to send me to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, his rabbi. No. I made an appointment with Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that's all, in Muncie. Rabbi Yaakov was 93 at the time. My wife and I go to Muncie. This is in 84, 85, something, one of those, right before he was nifter. We go there. And in 10 minutes, Rabbi Yaakov says, I think you should stay in chinuch. Wow. Now, am I mechuyev to listen to the Galador? Or what did Galador? What do you say? Here, no one's saying a word. Wow, that means I'm not mechuyev to, right? Is that understanding? And then I was at it, I asked them a whole bunch of other questions. And then at one point, Rabbi Yaakov says, he calls one of his grandchildren and says, I heard there's a position in Toronto. Here, Yosef. And he's friendly with Nachman Sokol. You know that name, Nachman Sokol? Oh, really is it? Tatsuchert? Aryeh Sokol. Zeh Nechet Shalom. Nachman Sokol, who we kier, me Europa. Aya brisk ayi kazeh. Rasol eshi gam ki mi kier oto. Be brisk. Because she had me kier with Menachem Begin. Misham, be brisk. Zeh kala. Lo yu umad. Kala shushel ota zot. Bechol zot. So he has his grandson call this Nachman Sokol, who said there's a position in Rashim and Archaim in Toronto, and Rabbi Yaakov says that he thinks, in Yiddish he's speaking to Nachman Sokol, he thinks he has a candidate who's Matim. Who's that? The guy in front of him. I said, what is going on? What am I, a sack of flour to be moved around? And Canada? What's Canada? There's a country called Canada. Lo shamanu al zeh me'olam. Anyway, guess what? I became the Roshiva of Archaim in Toronto for almost 10 years. All that, who's doing is that? I'm going to need some helpers, that's all. So it's amazing how this personality had ashpa in my life, different ways. And Ariyom Azeh, really, it's, what can I say? Yezicho Baruch. Okay, so now we begin. Now, can I start the time from now, Rabbi Yehuda? I don't know how it works exactly. So I Xeroxed the Gemara in Kedushin, which you're probably all more familiar with than I am. I want to start with the Gemara, where the Gemara says, Adheikon, Boi Minim Ba'alula, Adheikon Kibbut Abayim. What are the outer limits of the mitzvah of Kibbut Abayim? So the Gemara says, Aman Daflamid Aleph. Omer Lahem, Tzuru Ma'aso V'Kacham Becha V'Yashkalon, V'Dama V'Nesina Shema. It's amazing. Everyone knows about Dama V'Nesina. Once Chacham wanted Pragmatya, V'Shishim Vibo Star, V'Yam Atech Munach Tachem Ha'ashosu Shalavi V'Lotzi Arov. The key was under his father's pillow, and he didn't cause him any tzar. Wow. And then the Gemara quotes, again, Omer Avila Mashmuel, Arev and Kibbut Abayim. Again, this guy in Ashkelon, Dabba Menesina Shema, Bikshu Menach Chacham Babonim La'ifog, Rishishim Ribo Schar, the Mapteach was under his father's pillow, Velo Tziara. Shana Acheres, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded him. Nodolo, Paraduma, Be'edro. So, first I'll mention that I heard from the Rav Zatzal, Rav Soloveitchik, a number of times. Isn't that amazing? Chazal cannot find one Jewish person who's Mekai in the midst of Kibbut Abayim? They had to go to Dama Ben Sina, a goy in Ashkelon? Rabbi Van Dyke, how do you explain that? There was no one who was Mekai in the mitzvah of Kibbut Abayim. By the way, there's someone else, and him you know better. It's also quoted in Kedushin. The Gemara calls him a Meshumen. And the Gemara said, he was Mekai in the mitzvah of Kibbut Abayim. Who's that in Tanakh? In Bereishis? Esau, correct. He's Mekai in the mitzvah of Kibbut Abayim. Well, how does he go to speak to his father? What kind of begodim? Has the Torah described the begodim of Esav? Hachamudot. They can't go back to other Marishot. Kodem Achet in Gan Eden. Amazing. Kibbut Abayim is no simple mitzvah in terms of its ideal kiyum. So the Gemara here quotes Dama Ben Sina.
Huh? Or the Rav answer. Why
are you going? Ah, and this tzaddik, goy, yodeh ani b'chem shim ani mevakish v'kem kol mamon sheba'olam atem lo sin li. Ela ein ani mevakish v'kem ela osam mamon shehefsadati v'shul kod abo. That's the money that I'm asking you for, the money that I lost, that I sustained the loss. And the Gemara says, ma'am v'sheinu metzuru v'osek kach, metzuru v'osek, has kamu v'kama. Someone who's metzuru in the midst of kibbut abayim, as all of us are. By the way, a goy in mitzvah the kibbutz in the midst of kibbutz abayim, bring me a ride from the Gemara Kedushin. And the answer is, goy are they obligated in kibbutz abayim? What is the mitzvah of kibbutz abayim founded upon? What principle? It's a Gemara in Kedushin right here. What is it founded upon? The Chinuch writes it, the Ramban writes it, the Rishonim write it very clearly. But what is it based on? What principle, what nida is kibbutz abayim based on? The answer is, excellent, akarat hatov. Gratitude. Your parents reared you, they raised you, they showered you with everything, correct? They wine you, they don you. That's a mitzvah kibbutz abayim, to wine and don your parents. So, how do I know that's a Gemara? right here in Kedusha. Which Gemara am I referring to? That indicates that the mitzvah of Kibbutz Abayim, this is my Gemara in Kedusha, which Gemara am I referring to? I'll give you a hint. Chazu v'hodu the ma'amaras ha'mishonis. I believe that's there in Kedusha, I'm not holding. But the Gemara says, Chazu v'hodu the ma'amaras ha'mishonis. What does that mean? When the Umas Ha'olam, Yoduch Hashem kol ma'al te'eretz, Laman Aleph. Kishonu im b'pichol, ma'am ha'pichol, ha'nemar al-im b'pichol, ha'shem rabbi. When Hashem said the first two dibros, Amru, what did they say? Yibarsham is a egotistical person, full of ego. What's the pshat in that Gemara? Why would they mode after they heard? What did the Rishonim say over here? The answer is, Rashi actually comments already, Kolshkin Shechayvon Bichvodo, Shahu Shuta Bibriyasa Kavu Bimo. Chayvamosa Basur Biyodo. That's what Rashi says. But many Rishonim say, Hakar Satov. Even a goy recognizes the din of Hakar Satov. Even a goy is obligated in Kibbutz Abayim, also obligated in Hakar Satov. So, just coming back to what I began with a moment ago, the Gemara then quotes. Sorry?
Says
not Matsu, but not Matsu. The Gemara only means Pashas, that formally is not Matsu of Vaitse. In terms of Sheva Mitzvah Nach, there is no Kibbutz Abayim in Sheva Mitzvah Nach. However, Eina Matsu of Vaitse, a guy does have that. And based on this Midah of Akar Sato, that's what many of Yishon said. That's the assumption. Formally, he's not obligated, that's for sure. He's not among the Sheva Mitzvah Nach, Kibbutz Abayim. But it's clear that's a Midah. I mean, that's a question also. Are goyim obligated in, we're obligated to cultivate midos, tovos, etc., etc. What about goy? Is he obligated also to cultivate midos, tovos? And what's the answer? I'm sorry, what did you say, Rabbi?
I was just saying that, back to the Shnei that it says chazu behudu le mishot, it doesn't say this, they're
quid. They
validated.
Correct, they validated the hakaras hatov, that mid of hakaras hatov. But some say that there could be, there's even a chiyuv on the part of goyim for Hakar Satov. Okay, I want to just go further. Kiyasa Rabdimi, the Gemara says, Pamacha, the Yalovers, Sirkon Shozov, he's wearing the aristocratic kind of garb, but Yoshim and Doli Romi. I think there are those who say he was a member of the Roman Senate. That's what they claim. Means a member of the Roman Parliament. Ubasa Imo Kruato Mimenu, Betikola Arosho, she tore off the garment from him. And she essentially, how would you translate, tip chala arosha, let's say smacked him across the head. The yorkala befana v'lo chlimo. He didn't embarrass her, even though she spacked right in front of him. So we are astounded, first of all, by the response of David ben Asina. How did he respond? His mother embarrasses him publicly, shames him, humiliates him in front of the entire Roman Senate, a very august body, parliamentary body. And he doesn't react. So Tosis has a famous comment over here on the spot that he quotes a medrash that clearly she was, unfortunately, mentally deranged. She was not operating with a full deck. That's what Tosis writes over here. And therefore, we can understand she acted as she did, and he did not respond. And again, but we're amazed that not only did not respond, but even the smallest and slightest reaction that one would have expected under normal circumstances, we don't see over here. So there's a Rambam, a famous Rambam, Hilchos Mamrim. So I actually xeroxed the Rambam.
Rabbi, doesn't saying that she was a little bit off take away from the...
It does, slightly. But over Chozal, even if someone, again, especially subjected to this kind of behavior, and even though someone knowing that his parents, God forbid, are deranged or mentally challenged and the like, but still, that one would not react. He stayed there and more or less became a karban, a chetza, to what his mother decided to do. That's amazing in and of itself. It's still an amazing kind of response. So the Rambam here...
Maybe that's the reason why brings this example, as opposed to allowing the escapes because
of
what is also
not so... Good. And I'm asking him, Zeh. Rambam Hilchos Mamrim in Halacha Zayin, Perek Vov, he quotes this last story and basically quotes it to show you the outer limits of the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. Rambam says, "Arechan hu kibud av v'aim." Arechan is one of the outer limits. Imagine if someone were to take my wallet, and let's assume I have whatever I have in there, $500, even less, and throw it into the sea. What would I do to that person? Trust me, I will tell you what I would do to him. I don't want to describe it. What I generally tend to do, or like to do, but don't do it, Rabbi Schneider. Pulverize him, cut him into 12 pieces, and send the chevet to all the shifting. So Rambam says, lo yachlimen. You're not allowed to embarrass them. Lo yitzayim b'fneihem. Lo yichas. Yikabel gzeras hakosa v'yishtok. What a Rambam. Yikabel gzeras hakosa. What does that mean? How do you translate that? Accept the gzeras hakosa. What do you accept the gzeras hakosa? What gzeras hakosa? It says in the Torah, kabel esol v'yichas. You see that? That's the gabel kabel. Then the Rambam says, adhechem mora. And gives you also the example of the Gemara. Afilu ha-yolobush begodim chamudot. He's wearing the begodim of Esau. V'yoshid b'rosh b'pnei ha-kol. Ubo rovi b'imo v'koru begodim. V'yiku b'rosho v'yorku b'fonov. Lo yachlimen. Ela yishtok v'yira v'yefacheid. Let him be seized with apprehension and fear. Mimelach malchi amlochim. She'tzivo v'kach. She'ilu melach basav adam gozer alov. The Rambam says you would not be able to even have a suffix. By the way, this Lashon L'Mishama V'Yayilam and this Masalavetchik said the whole shir in Yiddish. Go to the Yadua. You are in tradition. L'Mishama V'Yayilam. Sheben Mechaber Esavim Yisem Imam. Nei. Sheben Shadal to Mizavim. The Go to the Yadua. L'Mishama V'Yayilam. Sheben Yorim Yadav Yisem Imam. Sheben Alam Gatera. So the Rambam asked, why does the Gemara say, and Daf Lamed Aleph, God we do what should have said, the thing I could is powerful. What's this language of the Nishama of Hayayilam? And the Rambam picked up on that language. And the Rambam again said, Rosha, several hours. It's been published in Hebrew. Where is it published? In a Sefer that's not so well known. Chaval. Collection of essays of the Rambam. And that collection of essays is also. And that same essay, the Rav discussed Kibud av v'aim. In Yiddish, that's what I heard it. Atam akirata. Wow. Ech kurim ha-sefer hazeh? It has a pink cover on it, a stickle pink, and a few other colors. It's not a well-known sefer. It has a collection of beautiful essays. The Rav once spoke to a group of social workers for about, I think, 10 hours. Even I didn't stay the whole time. Couldn't deal with it. And they published what he said over there in Hebrew. And they collected, it must be a 50-page essay. So,
Rabbi, the first Rambam, why is it not the lack of reaction covered versus zero itself? Meaning, covered is doing things, zero is not, someone not doing things. So the lack of reacting to more zero than a covered.
So you're asking a good kasha. I mean, we have to try to define now these two. I'm not holding this with you as well. I just heard about it last night, or yesterday. So I really would have to re-examine the whole sugya. I'm not honestly not holding it. What Rabbi Schneider said correctly, Gemara says here that what is covered, so you guys know better than I do. Mora is here. Ezel mora ve'ezel kavo. Mora lo omi v'komo, lo yoshi v'komo, lo sosu v'zavaro, lo machrio. Wow. I don't know, I'm sure you do it, but I certainly don't fit into this kind of category. I have actually one or two children like this. They are the doctor, and you know that, Rabbi Yudin. Lo yim koma, lo shim koma, forget about that. That's kosher. Well, so says Dvara. They never argue with me. I see a lot of, how shall I put it, wall things. That is masculine. Rabbi Schneider, Rabbi Yudin is masculine. They will not argue with anything I say. They don't agree with me at all. Chlal! Not a word. I have other children. Don't you worry about it. Betakifut! No, I'm just trying to answer your kasha, but only by talking it out. I'm sorry, I'm not holding the sugya you're holding. By covered, the Gemara says, Yemachel, Umashke, Malbish, Umachase, Machtis, Emotzi. All the pros, all the positives, the affirmative things I have to do. I'm just saying that it seems that kavod is sherut. Basically, kavod is, how do you translate in English? Is servicing your parents, to be mishamish them. Mashenkin mora is clearly now. It could be. What I'm asking on the Rambam is, what is the Rambam here when he speaks of the first case, the one that you mentioned? As I said, the wallet that's thrown into the sea, I shouldn't embarrass them. The kavod zeh sakos of Yishev. Why do you use that lashon? And yet, the second Rambam, when he speaks of Mora, there he says that kavod zeh mishamah v'hoy olam kirtzono. Why does he use that lashon for Mora and this one for kavod? Why kavod zeh sakos of Yishev? I hear what you're asking. Even the kavod one clearly involves an element of the lichora Mora. So how do you define the two? And I'll ask you another question, which always bothered me. Everyone knows, I assume that you're all familiar with, you learned the Sunni tradition here. Are these mitzvahs, kibbutz avim, we said before, it's based on Hakaras HaTov, but is it purely rational? Is it rational underpinnings, the entire mitzvah of kibbutz avim, based on logic? Or no, as the Rambam calls it here, gzeras hakosuv. Gzeras hakosuv, what does that mean? It's a text in the Chumash, it's a pasuk in the Chumash, and that's it, we have to surrender to Hashem. That's what we have to do a lot of surrendering. No, what do you say, Rabbi Van Dyke? We do a lot of surrendering. A lot of it. A lot of things that we don't understand. I don't understand. You probably do understand. You're a European, Baruch Hashem. You have a plus over me. Many pluses. Plus your yichas. I heard about his yichas. I flipped out. Anyway, I met two people today with yichas that are beyond anything I could possibly imagine. So, but there are things I don't understand. But at the end, I surrender. I surrender because I like the whole system. I hope you don't mind. I think the whole system as a whole is fantabulous. And as a result, I accept even things that I don't fully necessarily connect with. We had this discussion, you and I, a short while ago. So there are things that are difficult. Difficult for someone like myself, trained as I am, Western world, whatever you want to call me. But I accept the whole system as a whole. So I'm guessing, basically, or do we assume that there's really no rationality here whatsoever? It's completely beyond the ken of rationality. It doesn't fit into logical patterns and the like. And it's essentially mishmat, or what they call chok. Chok of mishmat. Matter of fact, Rashi quotes in Chumash, in Mishalach. By Mara, the pasuk says, Sham, Somlo, Chok of mishmat, Misham Niso. Anyone know what was given in Mara? He wrote a whole sefer on this. I'm going over Chanan Adoshli. He gave it to me, that's why I have the sefer. And Rashi quotes over there, Kibbutz Avim, among the chok of mishmat. That, so apparently it's chok of mishmat. So what do you say? What is kibbutz avim? Where does it fit into? Does it fit into seichel bigger things? Is it logical? Or is it purely chagi mishpah? What would you answer, anyone? The answer, of course, is which dibra is in it? The sense of dibra is what number? Number 5. So this is called the bridge between the first tzad and the other tzad. How is it a bridge? The first tzad is considered to be what? Is that logical, the first tzad? Anochi, lo yelecha, lo sasalecha. You probably know better than I do. What's next? And then Kavya Samicha. What's on the other side? Which one would you say is the Chokim Mishpat side, the side that's not so rational, that's hard to us to understand? Which side is that? The right side or the left side? Which one? Correct. And the other side, there are dark rights, so I just perish on Tanakh. You ever learned? You learn Tanakh? You learn Tanakh. You're a man in Tanakh. He asked me two good kashis that I can't sleep at night because of this guy. You caused me Gezel Shema. Can I take him to a court of law? Rabbezda? Anyone know his two kashas? He didn't tell you? Why didn't you tell them? You think you told somebody Rabbe and you told me. Involved in the kashas, yes. I'm thinking about it for the last week and a half. I have already two mahalachim, but I can't sleep, Rabbi Schneider. I can't sleep because of this guy. He caused me Gezel Shina. Whatever the Issa of Gezel Shina is. Assuming it's Sasa. So the answer, of course, is Tzvei Dinim. Kibbutz Avim has both aspects to it. There's an aspect of Seichel, as I said, Akar Satov, and there's also another aspect to it, apparently it's based on some Mishpat, some Chok. That's almost impossible to understand. As I said, in that case of the fellow who, the father, the mother, whoever it may be, who throws my wallet into the sea, I think any normal person would not be able to simply be inert and not react, and not respond. Except for Rabbi Silverman, Rabbi Schneider, Rabbi Yudin, Rabbi Eliezer, they would be, Baruch Hashem, capable of doing. Trust me, Avishai David. not in a million years.
Just one quick question for Rebbe. Maybe it's aside from the guy from the mosque, but in certain context, but if we expand beyond that, is there's a did it not be social barf. So it's another thing, I'll just give an example that exists today. People want to go shana bet. The parent says no.
Wow.
So where is the not be social barf?
It's Babish Allah for the vice. Hosh Allah for the vice. Rabbi Avadia is a famous tshuva. Many, many years ago, Yosef, you know that tshuva? Where are you? David, are you there? Yeah, so he, a high school student, yes, Rabbi Avadia, about, he's a Yeshiva Tichonit, you know, it's a high school, what they call it? A high school, no? Yeshiva Tichonit. You know what a Yeshiva Tichonit? A regular, normal high school, that's as well. He got into learning, and now he wants to go to, I don't know, was it Yeshiva Tester or Yeshiva Goa? I mean, Lomashadeh. As opposed to, let's say, going to the army, or as opposed to, I don't know, taking some secular route and getting a degree and getting education and then getting a job. by the way, don't misunderstand me. I'm of the ilk, probably none of the band here understand me, probably. I believe people should get an education. I'm in favor of education. I hope you don't mind me saying that. I know you are not happy with me. I do, Rav Schneider. You know what that means, education? Secular education. You know the word secular? I mean, like learning an engineer, biologist. I don't know what you're interested in. Besides making money, okay, that's the ego. That's the ego. But whatever it is, without panosa, you have no choice. You have to make panosa. You have to make a living. You want to marry. You want to support your family, etc., etc. Okay, but in terms of what Rabbi Schneider said, so is this called sosid bar? So I'll tell you the answer. Rabbi Avadia tells this person he's not mechuyav. Listen to his parent, and he quotes the Gemara in Yevamos in the first parak. Famous Gemara. The question is, what are the parameters of that? I asked the same kasha to Echad Migdoli Ador. I don't want to say who it is now. He did not completely agree with Rav Avadia on this matter. I'm asking you, this is what Rav Schneider Shlita asked, is a very significant question. Your parents are against you coming to Shana Bet. But you want to come to Shana Bet. It's probably a good thing for you. Because you'll become more anchored in learning, and trust me, you'll be a better person. You'll be a finer person. You'll be a bigger Balmido. You'll learn more Torah, so that automatically, that's what it does. It changes your personality. And then you'll have more Kibbutz Avayim. So what's wrong with that? So that's what I told someone once to tell his parents. If I learn a second year, I'll have more Kibbutz Avayim. So his father said to him, you haven't had much till now. This is going to change the calculus. Doesn't Kibbutz Avayim. It seems in Poskim, that's not called Seser Dvarim. That's the Gemara in Yevamos. Ani v'atem chayav b'chvedi. Gemara quotes the first part of Yevamos. Famous Gemara. The father tells you to be Mechal Shabbos. He tells you, come with me, and we're going to go to some event, which is, shall we say, where people are not dressed up in tzanua. Members of your family, are you mechuyav to go? So your father said, and your mother said, what? Mishpacha, for goodness sakes, what are you? What did you want me to do there to sell? You flip like a pancake, and now you turn over upside down. You don't even know your family anymore. What are you, crazy? What do you answer? I see you're smiling at me. So what do you answer? I can't. I'm not comfortable. Whatever you say. That Rabbi Avadia is a posher. Not even a suffix. That's not called Seser Dvarim. Anything that's fitting into the context of now, but it gets a bit more complicated. I have to tell you. You know about it better than I do. These are not. But here's what I want to just point out. There's a pasuk here. And I think this is also the mark of the Rambam. Kabel sovicha v'simecha kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. Where's that? I believe in Vaishana. In the other parasha, if I'm not mistaken, it doesn't say that. The Gemara actually already comments here. Kabel sovicha v'simecha l'man yarichin yarecha. The pasuk in Yisrael, arichas yomin. You promise longevity. In the pasuk of Vaishana, there it says, kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. What is that language of kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha? All the aseret ha-dibrot are kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. Why dafka to mention like Kibbutz Avayim? Hashem Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. Why dafka over here? That Hashem commanded you. So I think there's a Gemara about this. Since I didn't look it up, that the Gemara says Hashem commanded us in Mara. I alluded to it earlier. Earlier, before Mount Torah, you already have Kibbutz Avayim. It's one of the mitzvahs in Mara. Mara, you have Dinim, Shabbos, Bar Aduma, Kibbutz Avayim. That's in Mara. Rashi quotes it in Bashalach over there. Rashi mentions it. So that's the Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha prior. But I want to establish what I think is a very important yisod in Kibbutz Avayim, and I'm not sure I'll be able to answer the question that Rabbi Schneider asked earlier, because it's a very good question. Rambam, again, the element of Mora How does it seems to be part of kibbutz? How do you exactly define the two parameters? But I want to just add something which I think always a thought and always think is a very critical aspect. Rav Soloveitchik actually, I didn't hear him say this by kibbutz avayim, but it's pashut to me that it applies there as well. You know, the briskers have this I don't know how to call it duality. They call it a maisa mitzvah, a kiva mitzvah. Everyone ever heard such terminology? I'll give you an example. There's a mitzvah on Yom Tov. What are you supposed to do? So how are you happy on Yom Tov? How do you express your happiness? What do you do? Well, tell me, practically speaking, what do you do to express that joy, that happiness? What? Oh, you eat. Well, we eat nicely, correct? The Gemara says, "Ein simcha lebabasa, ein simcha lebayayin." You might not be talking elsewhere as well. So we eat meat, even though the Be'alocha, others already point out, that's probably not, we don't have Sar Shlomim today anymore. So we don't have the Sabigdash. We can't really fulfill the mitzvah. Someone told me, Mashur, Harav is an Israeli. I have a few Israelis down in Mashur. So I got a kick out of that. But Yayin, certainly, that's a chiyuv. There's a chiyuv for everyone here to drink Revias of Yayin every day of Chag. I assume you do that. Not just a spoon, but you have a Yayin, hopefully. That is something which is an absolute chiyuv. There's also other chiyuvim. Namely, if you're married, you have to give a present to your wife. That's a din. That's a din daraisa. Samachta v'chagecha. That's mentioned by Poskim. I tried to do that all my life. At least that. That I'm Kayim Babashaya.
Better than me.
Come on, I don't believe you. But anyway, so I try, my Rebbe told me that Hagoyim Anisim Alper, that's one of the things I should do. So I do that, Shal Shigalim, Samech my wife. You know what I did the first time? I don't know if I should say this. Am I being taped?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, no. No, just say something silly that I did. I agree with you, the Maisa Mitzvah is to eat it, correct? Is that the real key of my Mitzvah? Or it's only a means to an end. Then the kima mitzvah means what is the internal sense that I should have, the feeling that I should have when I, let's say, eat meat, shawarma, that guy, or whatever you like, steak, barbecue, I don't know. So what the answer is a feeling that of simcha. Why? I'm the presence of Hashem. Why am I the presence of Hashem? Because it's chag, it's Yom Tov. Yom Tov is more of a Hashem than a regular day. So there's something called the maisa mitzvah and the kima mitzvah. Let me give you other examples. I'm not doing too well, I see. Tshuva. The Rambam counts, this is one of our salvations. You ever go to his, you didn't go to him? Sorry, probably weren't around. But to his drushot of tshuva, I went to 13 of them. I drove from St. Louis, Missouri. I used to drive 22, 23 hours straight to hear our Soloveitchik's drushot of tshuva in Yiddish. And my children were very young. So I said, only 3 pit stops. No drinking for 2 days. You hear Rabbi Van Dyke? You don't drink for 2 days, you don't need too many pit stops. And I drove 22, 23 hours, did a number of times. And then when I heard the drasha, the tshuva drasha, I was so enamored, I didn't have to drive back. It was like, what do you call it? Uber? I didn't drive. I was out Kafir Nishon. I don't mean the Kafir Nishon over here. I mean the Kafir Nishon of Tak Mielis and Naziel, who said that night, Hashem wafted them on a magic carpet from Egypt to Jerusalem to bring the Karim Pesach, and then they were wafted back, so I was wafting on a magic carpet. You know the Tag Mielis Museum? I saw it quoted in the Sefer Shai Lovi, very nice Sefer. Anyway, so he quotes that Tag Mielis Museum, and so tshuva. What's a mitzvah tshuva? How would you define a mitzvah tshuva? Oh, you change the color. I mean, what happened to the purple vase? It turned white. That's the same purple one. H2O. I mean, that's heavier than all my swear. So what's the mitzvah of tshuva? How would you define it? The Rambam calls it vidui. What? Vidui? And that's all over? What about all the other elements of tshuva? What are the other elements of tshuva? Hakaras hachet, harata, kabbalah laba. So the answer is, of course, that's the meisa mitzvah. What do you mean the Maisa Mitzvah? The technical fulfillment of the Mitzvah. But really, there has to be, the person has to dredge up from within all that which I did heretofore, which is a lot, and think it through and literally do an introspection, a Cheshbon HaNefesh, take that electron microscope and let it go through your innards and see exactly what caused you to behave as you did. That's called the Kima Mitzvah. Oh boy, I'm not doing too well. Let me find other examples. Avelus, another good example. Avelos, God forbid, no one should know of any Avelos, Chas V'Shalom. I want you to live a man, some Shana, and good health.
Amen.
But, you know, God forbid, someone becomes an Avel, so there are 11 Nihugiyavilut that the Gemara has in my cup. 11 things that we have to do. There are Isurim, there are positive things, there's a whole tumult on Tisha B'Av. What is the status of Tisha B'Av? Our Rosh and our Rutenberg and our Rishon have a field day at that issue. So, there are 11 things that we do, or we don't do. We don't bathe, and the like, we don't take haircuts, etc., etc. Is that the Kima Mitzvah? No, that's the Maisa Mitzvah. What's the Kima Mitzvah? The field that a person should have, that God forbid, you lost a relative, a close relative, and you obviously recognize that a massive loss in your life. That's called the Kima Mitzvah. It's a Mishnah Sanhedrin. Ein aninu selabalei. That's why it was very fond of that Mishnah Sanhedrin. It means it's a Kim Shebalei. That's the Eko Kim of Avails, to recognize the loss. Sham Niskati, Aniva Tai, Yeshua Keshe, and Jacob Lera, Shlita. As I'm very to Abeva Tagamke, as Shab and the Dotcholo, Niftera Haima, the Anglia. Shab and the Mamash Niskadi, Mishra Mali Aboke, as Lo Yeshev Shivapo, Yeshev Shama, the Anglia. As Echad Shuelo Ti Aboke, Zeshe, Odiali, Abeva Tatas, Anglia, and Imod. Okay, that's just like a minor. Anyway, I'm just trying to give examples of Mice and Kiyam. Any other examples I can find out with Silverman? What other examples can I bring? Rabbi Yudin, Rabbi Schneider, Rabbi Eliezer. I can't think of any more right now, but why am I saying that? I believe this applies here in Kibbutz Avraham. And I'll show you that obviously, I think what is a clear, famous raya, Gemara says here, Tani Abimi. I can never get past this story. Tani Avimi, Bred Rabbi Abo. Yesh Machlo Avi Pisioni. Anyone know what Pisioni is? How do you translate Pisioni? Sometimes, what?
Delicacy.
How do you translate it?
Like a bird delicacy.
A bird delicacy. But what is the little translation? I'm not sure. Is it pheasant? How do you translate Pisioni? The Ivrita Modernit. Lo Mishtamshin Bamilazo. Okay? Ken Mishtamshin? Abo, isn't enough? Yesh machilo v'pisyoni b'tordim in ha'olam. Yesh matchino b'reichayim u'mivio l'chayim abon. So Rashi Tosis is called the Yushalmi. This Yushalmi in Peya is one of the most astounding Yushalmis I ever saw. There was a guy in my former shul many years ago. He wrote a perish in Hebrew on the Yushalmi. And he kvar shachakya t'ashem shalom shal ha'aba. Ha'ben amar li sh'aba haya magim d'ipam b'fam b'shabbatot. אז הוא כתב פרש על ירושלמי, הבאבי רוצה להציג לך את הירוש שלו, ואוקיי, אז הפגשתי איתו, he came one Shabbos, this, sorry, I spoke in Hebrew, he came one Shabbos, this fellow, and he told me he wrote a פרש על ירושלמי, I think it's 7-8 volumes in Hebrew, and he asked me, would I like it? So, you know, it says, Seine Matono Sikhe, and my gear says, Seine Matono Sikhe, I figured, what a Seine Matono? Nice matana. I mean, Yerushalmi in Hebrew, why not? So then he tells me, there's a precondition. You got to learn, whatever I give you, you got to learn it. Oh, sorry, sorry. It's not for me. So he convinced me on Yerushalmi in Peya, that I always wanted to learn. Yerushalmi in Peya, a lot of agoda, very nice stories. I said, I'll take that. And I agreed to learn it. And this is where I saw this Yerushalmi I found in Peya, and that's it. By the way, he tried to give me a few more, but I said, no. I got to first learn Chumash and Rashi. Yerushalmi. Who am I fooling? Anyway, so I want to read to you. You all know this Rashi. And Tosis. Mai Sevechot Sheyemachal Ovid Pisioni Pam Achad Amal Ovid. Ma'ayin Lecha Kol Eile? Amal Saba! Ma'ich Patach Atchom Echol. That's how I read this Yerushalmi. The Pchila. How do I translate that? Someone was... Father tells me, where'd you get all this... what do you call it? Delicacy. All these pheasants, all these beautiful, turkeys. So he said, Saba. Of course, it was said in a very mocking kind of way. How do you say Saba mockingly? Old octogenarian, what do they say for someone who's very, very old and just...
Old man.
Okay, old man. You're just a polite fellow. But that's Patlacha, who cares? Tchomechol! So it means go ahead and just chew it and eat it. As Rashi said, Lo Osvecho. So he showed him that was not easy for him. The Shub Maisa Vecha Shea Tochi Berechayim, another one is given a job to the millstones. Ba'ayelo Av Zokei. V'shalach HaMelech B'shil Oviv Lava Lavanat HaMelech. King sends him to conscript him to do this kind of work. Amalo B'no. Abba, Tchon, Vani Eilef Tachtech Lavanat HaMelech. I'll replace you, he tells his father. Let me do it. It's a Avodah Shein Lo Kitzvah. So, what is amazing to me in this Gemara, and that's what I'm going to quote to you shortly, this Gemara we see that in Kibbutz Avayim, there's a Maisa Mitzvah and a Kiyama Mitzvah. What does the Maisa Mitzvah of the Gemara say? What Rabbi Schneider Shlita mentioned earlier, Lisharet Abba V'ima, namely to wine them, to dine them, etc. Machnis Motzi, what the Gemara says clearly, and that's called Shulchan Aruch La'alocha. However, what is the Kiyama Mitzvah? The Abba, the underlying love, and the underlying allegiance and hakar satov that you have to your parents for everything they did for you, that is the real Kiyama Mitzvah. The text of Maisa Mitzvah is no problem. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. My parents never let us have a TV. Could you believe I grew up without a TV? Now you understand why I'm a lunatic. How could you grow up without a TV? My parents refused to have a TV. We had a broken TV. So what would you have suggested? Fix it, no? They refused. They felt there were more important things to do. So I used to go to my friend's house. I was 6, 7 years old. And there was a group of TV programs I was offered to see. I said, it's okay. I don't know what kind of school it is. Abbott and Costello. I don't know if you ever heard of those things. The Three Stooges. They don't know what I'm talking about. It's not their fault. They're into, what is it called? Hagoyin Netflix. So they should go in. I was never zeicher to that. So I remember in the Three Stooges, I used to love it. Like I used to, all these, how should I describe them? And their antics, wild, absolutely out of control. But I remember among the antics was, would you like to have some cream pie? One says to the other, yeah, of course. He takes the cream pie and puts it in his face. Wow, you got cream pie. So, and the Maisa Mitzvah, he did. But the key was a bit lacking. So that's exactly what this Rashi reminds me of. It reminds me of the Three Stooges. The Havdil. Rabbi Schneider, don't take it literally. I'm just trying to explain what exactly Rashi has in mind. And I wanted to read to you now from the Sefer Haredim, which I'm very fond of. It's a Sefer I love my father's itself. Sefer Haredim, he's still all kinds of funny things. How early is it? Shakespeare, Tanakh, Abkuk, Philosophia, Byron, you know Shamata Byron, Baruch. Ani Amati. Amati is to the doctor tree that you and I both know who comes to my shiur, the genius. I know what you meant to say, but I don't wanna. It's a genius who comes to shiur my give, he just slugs me up every shiur I give. I don't know what to do with that guy. He comes from Rabbi Elshin, Amalei's neighborhood, genius of Goy Nadi, learned in the Gush, and absolute Eloi Shen Kamo. He's the head of the hospital in Be'er Sheva. So he other writes articles, Kedusha Torah, 25 pages on some topic from I don't know where. Oh, he writes these medical journals, they're not everybody. You know something, maybe I'll just leave this. The Sefer Haredim was introduced to me by my father. So I saw in the Sefer Haredim the following. He writes in Kabbalah Sevir Vesinecha, Chayav v'chabdam b'diburo, she'idabu lehem b'nachas v'loshin raka, v'adnus k'medabir v'nei ha'melech. Zeh b'shut v'shut mikro. How do I speak to my parents? Says the Haredim, Rabbi Loz Askeri, b'nachas softly, seeing them as a king, a queen, and he goes on. Umigzera shava, lomdu chazal. They got chayv v'chadna b'gufam, mamono v'achilam, v'ashkosam, v'albisham, v'asos kol tzorchem, ke'eved lifnei rabam. Unbelievable. There's a medrash in Parshas Noso. Naphtali, the son of Yaakov Avinu, kibed es ovid yosef midai. How's that possible? Yosef midai. Shal yoviv sholcho l'chol mokam sherotze, v'yozorot b'shlichuso v'rotz. Ke'ayo, v'yotomim medabi lo'ovid b'ritzui divrei pius tzuf dvash imrei noah. Hanu d'chsiv naptoli ayolo shluchot hanotenim reshafer. Unbelievable. What a statement.
I mean, I ask a practical question on this topic exactly. Yep. My father killed Shamim Abad is 2083. Okay? Not walking so not so fast, not so well anymore. All my sister-in-law called me, and they said, you guys speak to your father and your mother, finally the king. Both fingers, okay? My wife's grandparents both fell, and that was the end of it. Okay, when an older person falls, breaks his hip, surgery, another hip, another surgery, and then he doesn't move anymore. And then some mental problem, everything, okay? And a king can be a third leg, can be very safe. The mother is objects, and the father doesn't want to fight with her. But the idea not to try to sway the parent. I think there's a why, which, at least in my eye, in my sibling's eyes, is beneficial for his own safety, physically and eventually also mentally, requires something more takif, more strict speech. Now, I'm not going to yell at my parents, chazavayim, but even raising the issue, even raising a topic, is sensitive. And here, but the easy questions are, your father asked for a chair, bring a chair with my mashallah, okay? Mom wants to throw the garbage on the question. When your parents need machim al-bishma, chasim al-bishma, when it becomes more challenging, that's where the question is coming. Where did the human mitzvah and my son mitzvah they contradict?
Everyone here would have a yes, yes. Unfortunately, I'm involved in this question too, with also a fair number of people, and I've told them already, with the exception of one or two cases because of certain reasons, I told them they are mechuyev al pidin to go and try their best to convince their parents. In this case, I said the mother, your mother shlita, and the father shlita, and even though they may not be favorable to this idea, as mentioned just now, but you have to keep working at it. Ein sof, if you have your dati, because this is obviously to enhance the situation, to improve the situation, and even though they object, if something is medically warranted, objectively, through medical, not just medical data, but medical consultation with people who are experts and indicate this will give them to that, then there's no question in my mind that this is certainly obligatory. But even though I would just have one qualification, as far as speaking them with Surah Tel Khalifa, that I would not do. I don't think that's appropriate, but I still think it would be appropriate to press the issue as much as you can from every possible angle, including getting every member of the family involved in this matter. Everyone should try to convince him, but do it in the nicest way one could possibly do, but be persistent and tenacious about this and dogged about it. Beli Heref.
Kach ani choshev. The Rashi quotes that I mentioned uses the same language. Machim Besiyoni calls Tochen,
right.
Correct. And the other example is also Tchon.
But there's a distinction between the
right.
two, there's no question. I'm simply saying that often, listen, parents get older, grandparents, etc., things of that sort, and they're in need of tipples that sometimes they're not willing to accept. But we have to try our best to convince them, whether we, again, involve doctors who are great experts, we don't have to be great experts. We can bring other people into the picture who know better and are able to somehow persuade them, convince them, entice them, whatever is necessary. At least it's a dabar pashut, the middle of the pshita. Kach ani ro'eh b'meshach kol ha'shanim sh'anim ha'chayim k'rav, v'ani ra'iti gam ken sh'ze azar, pashut ze azar, k'mo sh'amarte, la'arich yimayem u'shneyem, en shum safek. בשנותיהם, זה מה שעזר הרבה, כל הדברים האלו שהם מאוד רק מחזקים. I want to mention this, I heard once about Soloveitchik, he said over, I'm trying to remember now the exact story, he said over that someone got a telegram, these to be telegrams, today Baruch Hashem we have emails and what have you, anyway, someone got a telegram, and the telegram was essentially that his father, who lives far, far away, is very sick. And he feels an obligation to be Mekayim in the midst of Kippur Aleim and to visit his father, which of course is the right thing to do. So, however, we Paskin, the Gemara says here, and so we Paskin Kippur Av, who's obligated to pay for it? Mishalav. That the parents are obligated to pay for this. So, therefore, since that's the halacha, that the it has to be covered by the father, so there we figured that it's going to cost him an enormous amount of money, and he's potter. Keep it out, Mishalav, and it's not there. So they asked this question of Chaim Viska. So let's just set over. One of his Yiddish drushes. Rav Chaim said, you're right, you're potter technically from this mitzvah, because the mitzvah is Mishalav, your father has to cover it. You have legs, start walking. So I heard from our soldier. So essentially, I'm truly trying to say that giving up the aim is not a function of your what your economic, socioeconomic bracket is, and it's irrelevant. It's really completely irrelevant what your bracket is. Some people have the wherewithal to help their parents more. They have a lot of money, Baruch Hashem. Everyone should be zayich with a lot of money. All of you should become multimillionaires and Mitzvah Hashem help the yeshiva. But so the Karsatov, whatever the case is, not everything is a function of money. And Kibbutz Avayim is much more, much deeper than that, and it involves this sense of unbelievable Ava. Now, I want to show you the best sefer, according to my humble opinion, that deals with Kibbutz Avayim, and I only know because I learned the sefer with my father, Zatzal. There's a sefer that's not so well used anymore. I don't know what happened. In my case, I grew up on it. You probably grew up in Mishnah Berurah, you got Mishnah Berurah, and H2O. But I'm just saying, but Mishnah Berurah is a classic sefer of the Sfardim here. They learned, Yalkut Yosef, or Chavedat, which are beautiful Sfardim, all beautiful Sfardim. I never heard of Mishnah Berurah in my life when I was your age. So what sefer did I learn? Two Sfardim. One, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. My father learned us the whole sefer. I thought that sefer was, in Yiddish you would say, Madna. How do you say Madna? Strange. There's a lot of strange things in that sefer. You ever study Kitzur Shulchan Aruch? There's a Rebbe Nishiva who likes to learn Kitzur Shulchan Aruch here. Rabbi Rimla. So I know him a shtickle. So he likes that sefer, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. He likes it immensely. It has some of the wildest, funniest, most exotic things you could find. So my father, he saw that. He said, I wasn't happy. He said, so I learned Chayyada. So we learned Chayyada together. Wow. That's not an easy sefer. Not an easy read. I was 7, 8 years old. Sheva, Shlona, Tesha. Sometimes The Merchant of Venice, Shakespeare, Vahabdil, sometimes some English poetry, sometimes something else, and sometimes Chayyadim. Chayyadim has in Klal Samach Zayin on Kibbutz Avayim, mind-boggling. Now, can I read a little bit of it? Did I go past my bedtime? I don't know exactly where I'm holding. Are you all masking these two outstanding rabbonim over here? But there, you are the people that I'm causing to tzar b'al chayim. So, okay. So the Chayyadim writes the following. He calls it Piron Chol. You know Piron Chol, the wrong subis? Piron Chol mitzvahi? There's a mitzvah to pay back our debt. What's the mocker for that mitzvah? It's the Tesis writes in Becheres, the Tesis writes in a few places. Svarahi! There's no mocker to pay back a debt. There's a mocker to lend money to someone. In Kesa Talbe Esadi. There's no mocker to pay back a debt. Svarahi! It's obvious. I borrowed money from you. I better pay it back for goodness sakes. Don't they have any akaras atov? Any, what's the term? Gratitude. I think I told the story. This is a true story. It happened a few years ago. And not in the present shul, but in the former shul that I had, there were two people. One was in desperate straits, and he needed a lot of money. So he borrowed several hundred thousand dollars for an apartment. A million shekel. So I told them both, they came to me, I said, we're now Aiden, Ashtar, the whole business. No, we are friendly with each other. We know each other well. I trust him. Everything is fine. And then I said, no, Ashtar, sign Ashtar. Otherwise, it's not happening. I don't want to be part of this. No. Anyway, at the end, no Ashtar, no Aiden, no nothing. The loan was for, I think it was 2 years. After 2 years, the Malva goes to the Loven, the one who lent the money, goes to the one who borrowed the money and says, okay, you owe me $250,000 here. And he said, what? Who? Who are you? I don't know who you are. What $250,000? This is what happened between them. The guy comes to me, the lover, white as a sheet, and said, Rabbi David, you were there. I said, I was there, but I didn't want to be there. I told you, it's like a star. But I don't believe he how could he deny $250,000? I was right there. I go to the lover. I said, I was there. You borrowed $250,000. So what does he tell me? Rabbi, are you feeling all right? What do you mean, am I feeling all right? I'm feeling God's fine. You don't remember. I didn't borrow that money. I couldn't believe it. I wish not. I was floored. Probably in my Rabbanus career, one of the things that was the most difficult for me in the last 28 years of my life in Israel. I couldn't believe it. I didn't know what to do. Well, what would you have done? What could I do? No star, no Adam, no witnesses, no nothing. Well, what should I have done? What would you? I was so distraught, a little bit almost, that to me, I couldn't even talk to him. The Malva? Okay, he was a relatively a mean person, Aleph Mem Yud Dalet. Somebody had, he wasn't a multi-millionaire. He needed $250,000 back, for goodness sakes. Guess what? I arranged the loan without ribbis. No interest. Wow. $250,000 you can invest. Fair amount of ribbis. No. Ribbis, we don't do things like that. We're Jewish people. We don't have ribbis. I couldn't believe what happened. I didn't know what to do. I asked two Anashim Gedolim Gedolei Yisrael what to do. They didn't know what to tell me. There's no shtar, there's no Eidim, that's it. What's there to talk about? I went over to the lover. I lost it, Rabbi Yudin, which happens from time to time. Back to the last Rabbi Schneider. I go over to the lover, and I told him, that's the end of my relationship with you. You're an egregious, just fill in the blanks. Liar! Shakran! Gazlan! Chamsan! And every other word I could possibly throw at it. I'm never talking to you again. Don't you ever dare walk into my shul. B'shumpan about it. He was taken aback. I spoke to him much stronger than I am now. It was just mild what I just did now. Screamed in it for half hour. And then he broke down. He borrowed the money. Of course he borrowed it. He just couldn't pay it back. So why in heaven's name did you say so? The guy I would have explained it. We would have worked it out. What's the problem? I just couldn't. I was embarrassed. 2 years, I had this money. I bought an apartment. I just didn't have a wherewithal to pay it back. Well, why did you say so? I don't get it. That's called Ishtamutzika Mishtami. That's the Pshat in the Gemara, in Bamitzir, and elsewhere. I haven't recovered from that, Rabbi Schneider. Guess what? Here's the amazing part. You would think, and then he ultimately paid it back. We worked out a whole arrangement, paid the entire amount back. And I said to myself, you know what I want to do? I want to make sure that this Malva Volova, not only still get along with each other, but maybe they become even friendlier to each other than they were before. How many years it took me, Rabbi Silverman, to deal with this? 5 years. They are the friendliest people today, this Malva Volova. And it came, me'az yetzei matok. Okay, why did I say this? So the Chayodah says that, he calls it Piron Chok. It's a debt that you have to pay. Unbelievable. He writes over here, look what they did for you. Call me Shema Mechabam Nikra Rasha. Dichsiv Lover Rasha Velo Yishalem. If you don't Mechabam then. The Gam came Bichlal HaPiron. Look what he writes. She Yehov Osom Abo Azo. What kind of love should I have for my parents? A deep, profound love. Kederech Shoyu Ovim Osom. The way they loved you. Wow, what a statement. Where did this come from? If you don't honor your parents, God forbid, you'll be subject to zerod kashav. How do you translate that? Not good things. I'll translate it that way. He quotes a pasuk. Yan ki nigash avazeh befil, ubisfatav kibduni v'li barachak vimeni. Hidden in Yosef, lahafli. Trust me, that pasuk Adon don't give up and kushrum keshe, except for homiletics. I'll be drash. He came with shahushru kodam b'chvar amokam, that you do know. The Gemara compares the covet to a parent to covet of Hashem. In Cain, gam ha'onesh shaveh. Same punishment of not being b'chavid Hashem, not being b'chavid your parents. But what I was taken with, ava, aza, ad ma'ov. A profound love without any limits. And then he goes further, b'chayodah. Hakibru b'machshava, b'maser v'diva. Now this is what Rav Chaim Shulev Zatzal used to quote all the time. This chayoda. He said, b'machshava, how do I see that? How do I view that? Verbally. Mechabdam b'libo, she'em chashuvim b'einav u'b'libo, ki'ilu hem k'gidolim b'nichbadei aretz, av she'b'einei sha'b le'adam, einam chashuvim klal. How do you see your parents as being numero uno, number one? Even though most people think they're simple people and they have nothing to offer, nothing to get excited about, nothing to write home about, that's not how you should view them. Wow, what a madrega. You have to be a Baal Madrega to come to this level. So, keeping up the aim is an incredibly difficult mitzvah to be mekayim, but at the end of the day, as I said, hakaras hatov. That's the foundation for this mitzvah. I don't know if you, I'm sure you are probably heard of, maybe even familiar. A lot of midrashim, I actually, this morning at 4 o'clock, that's what I did with Rabbi Yudin. I went to, he told me not to prepare anything, but I for someone of that stature, it's not low, be low mechubah, not in order. So I looked at midrashim regarding Yosef HaTzadik and his father, and Kibbutz Olayim. Esav's the one who was the classic we mentioned earlier, Dov Menasina, but Yosef HaTzadik. Wow. It's incredible, all the midrashim that talk about the kibbutz of Yosef with his father. And I don't know exactly, as I said, even how to describe. I xerox a whole bunch of midrashim over here. But maybe I was going to actually share one more. I don't know if I'm allowed to. If you feel I've gone already beyond, you tell me. I know that Aras Soloveitchik, I was never zochet to meet his father, Ramesh Soloveitchik, that's all. But the way he spoke about his father, I don't know how to describe it. Just indescribable. I saw Abraham Lichtenstein, that's all, Mishamish, his father-in-law, that's Rabbi Soloveitchik. I never saw anything like that in my life. I also saw Abraham Lichtenstein with his parents. His father was blind till the end of his life. Iver, Suman. Unbelievable. The moment Abraham would see his shver, see his father-in-law, he stopped running at top speed. Trust me, Abraham was an athlete. He knew how to run at top speed. I was at a levaya of Zulm Chalap's mother here in Eretz Yisrael. There were two Gedolei Yisrael who were there, Rav Tzvi Kushelevsky, Hagoyin, and Hagoyin Avraham Lichtenstein. They both ran up the mountain faster than I did, and I'm considerably younger than they were. They ran up the mountain like a bunch of goats running up a mountain. I couldn't believe what was going on over there. So Abraham used to run after his shver. So Abraham put on his shver's galoshes, how do you translate that? Rubbers, I don't know what it was. Magafayim. I saw him put his, literally, kibbutz, dress his father-in-law. I saw the same with his parents in the gush. Towards the end of their life, his father was blind. He used to daven in the back of his medrash, Abraham. And his father couldn't see. He said the entire davening out loud, word for word, with his father. He said one word, his father said a word. He said a word, his father said a word. I saw him pick up his mother. Pick her up, shoot the kamashma, carried her. It was like absolutely indescribable. When you see such kibbutz avay, and you can imagine, I asked Abraham Lichtenstein once. There were a lot of chiddushim that Rav Soloveitchik said that I was not happy with. Now I was a very young man. I'm still a very young man, and I'm getting unhappier by the day. Things that I hear about Soloveitchik and his name, things that I heard, I don't understand. It's just too mechudash for me. So I asked once Abraham Lichtenstein, not once, about 25 times I asked him at least, you know, the Rav said this, I don't understand this, I don't understand that, this is difficult, that's difficult. But then I would say that to Abraham Lichtenstein, His reaction was quiet. He didn't say a word. So I said, how come the Rashiva is not responding to me? How come he doesn't answer me? And then he told me, I said, does the Rashiva agree with Ishmer? Does he agree with Abba Soloveitchik? I gathered a number of times he did not. But then he told me the following. I don't argue with a colossus. Anyone know what a colossus is? Only Rabbi Silverman knows. Because he learned by Avraham Khan. I'm going to Avraham Khan. What's a colossus? I don't argue with giants. So how the Chassid told me. So I gather he didn't agree with him on a lot of things. But he could argue with him. And his cover for him was just beyond belief. Okay, go ahead.
Just like we said with the case of paying back a loan, like it's logical that one would pay back the loan that they took from someone, obviously not in this case. So too, by Hebrew of Aim, I would say it makes sense for us to say that one's going to honor their parents because they gave them everything they have in their lives. But at the end of the day, if I do the things for my parents and they don't know my thought process behind it and my feelings. So unlike with the mitzvah, let's say, any of the examples that we gave, there'll be different times with the feelings, like yontif and all the other things that are. If your wife, if one's wife gets a gift right before, and there's a big smile on the husband's face, and she has no idea, at the end of the day, if she's happy and she got it, what real difference does it make? If he picks up his mother and he's holding her, and she never knows where his real intentions were, if the parent deals with the baby and really doesn't want to when the baby, and pick, like help the baby when he's little, the kid never knows that, and at the end of the day, the kid was helped.
Okay,
so what are the emotions
that,
such a
deal? I think that the mitzvah is not necessarily where the other person necessarily is recognizing what you did. In case of Kibbutz Avim, it's probably true. You're right. Sometimes parents are elderly, and they may even be Rachonu L'san Sinar, God forbid. And they're not in the position to really recognize what you do. But you do it because you are, in effect, being Mechavir Hashem Yisbarach. That's Hushru Kvodom Nechol HaMokom. And the Chayyadim says it very clearly. The Kib is L'chavdom V'dibur V'machshava U'v'maisa. The Machshava means how you view them, how you see them. Many of us may have parents who are, my parents were regular people. My father and mother never went to yeshiva in their lives. Nothing. No background. My father, I think I mentioned this already a number of times. He used to ask me kashas on Chumash. My father learned Chumash very well. And I couldn't answer his kashas. My father said, why am I paying so many thousands of dollars for you to go to this day school when you can't answer my questions on Chumash? He told me that many times, my father. What was I supposed to say to him? So I used to make fun. My brothers were much more respectful. I said, nah, Chumash is for simple people. We learn Gemara, where Gedol Yisur, Elo Metzia Shalom, Elo Chai Lachris, Yesh Lo Midas, where? I think the mitzvah is to do it irrespective of the fact that the other party may not be aware of what you're doing. That's exactly why it's such a gewaltig mitzvah. And a great schar is when given to a person. How many times are there Arichas Yom Mishonim? Anyone know all the Arichas Yom Mishonim? There's a guy in my shul, you know who he is, but you don't know the specific. He's medakdek on Shnai Mikra Mechatagam. Wow! So he comes to me all the time with questions on the Targum Onkelos. And I'm not capable of answering them. He's very medayik in the Targum. I said, well, why are you so, what got into them? He learned brachas. What does it say in the Gemara Brachas? If you do Shnai Mikra Mechatagam, what's the segula for it? Arichas Yom Mishonim. So I asked him, are you also mechabed your parents, if your parents are living? Are you mechabed your parents like that? He didn't answer the question. So he said, you won't believe what this guy said. His parents are in the Chutzarts, luckily. And he lives in Eretz Yisrael, luckily. He can't deal with them. So he just moved to a different part of the world. I said, what? You came on Aliyah in order not to be Mekai and Yitzchak Kibbutz Avim? No, Chas V'Shalom, I know not to be Mekai. Because it was so difficult for me, I decided better to be elsewhere. You know, I've been involved with people in my life. You don't believe it, because you're such a fine young man, and you don't understand that there are people who are not like you. There's a couple who also made Aliyah, and Abrech, who lives in the Kolo, Talmud Chacham. He left his parents for only one reason. He's not a Zionist. Aliyah by him is Nishkin Indian. So why do you leave them? He said, my father's a Russian. He's not Reich, in the Kolo. He said, what did your father do? He's not a doctor in Nitzis. He's not a doctor in Kashrus. He doesn't have all the chumras that I have. He's an Oizvav. Oizvav! I said, what did you just say? I almost, Rabbi Schneider, I almost lost it. On the spot, it would have been Lo Sirtzach. On the spot. But I held back because it says in the Torah, Lo Sirtzach. I couldn't do it. I wanted to kill him. On the spot. There's an Avreich and a Kaila, and this is how he talks. That's really it. Okay, so not necessarily does the person who is the recipient have to be aware of your largesse, what you're doing.
So no, you just say this, the more so if one's parent was on
I hear what you said.
And they never know what you feel, then you're, it's the opposite of what the chaya is.
Okay, you're right, the opposite. And I hear what you're saying, I hear. But at the end of the day, this is keep it up, is a fantastic mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that has in it, as I said, Arichas Yom Rishonim, that Hashem promises us. I'm just going to show you one more thing that I actually Xeroxed this morning. This also comes up in my life a lot. I have quite conflict between a married woman and Kibbutz Avei. The Gemara says in Kedusha that she is Bishus, she's in the Bishus of her husband. Now, I'm living in a world, I don't know, maybe you don't live in that world, and you probably do. You know, women today are pretty independent, pretty sovereign. They don't exactly hanker well to this, what Gemara says, Bishus Baila Aleha. What does that mean? Which is Bailalel. By the way, I interpreted the Rashi in Kedusha in the very beginning. That's what Rashi means over here. You probably know that Rashi. Rashi says, Bekone Satsma, Leo Beshusa Binasilachim. That's what Rashi means. It's referring to that Gemara in Kedusha. That Isha, which was Bailalel. Clearly, it's Pasha Chan Rashi. So, what does that mean? Which was Bailalel. There was a person in my shul, in my previous shul, not my present one right now, but the previous shul, I had these issues, calling out the Dalai. Who do I listen to? And what, I'm going to listen to my husband? What do you say? I met, wow, earlier today, Shreya's Mia. I should be standing up in their presence every time I see them. Never push them. This is from the Hagoyim Hatzadi Gabel Lopian's family. Except he spells his name not the way I thought it should be spelled. Okay, that should be the worst outlook that you have. L-O-P-I-N. Is that what you said? As opposed to L-O-P-I-A-N. So I was, all the people I met from that family, they're a lot. They're all over the place. They spelled Lopian. I told him earlier at the great schutz that Rav Chaim Shulevitz said there were three great Dolia Bali Musa Vidareno. That's what he said. He didn't include himself as one of them. Who are they? He says in Yiddish, Eina hokitop Musa mit the Hals, and the Zweita mit the Kop, and the Dritta mit the Hand. One felt Musa with his hand, one felt Musa with his heart, one felt Musa with his head. So who are they? And you probably can figure it out. So he right away knew, my marvelous great-grandson, Rav Eliyahu Lapyan, with his heart. Lev Eliyahu, that's a series of Svarim. Gorgeous Svarim, by the way. I'm sure you have a Svarim. Were they translated into English? I guess to. You didn't tell me.
I don't know.
Because there's one in my shul wants to have those Svarim. His Hebrew is a little schwach. He needs something in English. Maybe he'll translate it.
Maybe one day.
Yeah, but do it soon. Because he needs it quickly. And the second one, Rav Chaim Shulevitz said, he's a Desla, that's how. Rav Eliyahu Desla, he's a head. His Musa was in his head. That sefer is so fantastic. When I was in Itri, there were two volumes of that sefer. That's it. I actually went out with a young woman. I didn't go out with too many women. Eliezer Shlita. But Pagashi Abed Nashim. Aisha Azul Pagashi Shaita Baaretz. Ketosh Shem Amaral. Rav Abed, Ratzu Prav Lechatenoti. Chever. As Nikashi Yita, he professor of the physics. Professor of the Physica Teoretit Universita. A brilliant woman. But she was much younger then. So she, what did she do? She asked me if I'm familiar with Rav Desla. I never heard of Rav Desla, Rabbi Silverman. She knew the two volumes at that time of the Mechtel Yor by heart. She also knew Tanakh by heart. Also a few other things. She's going out with this Amoritz, the Reis of Amoritz. What in heaven's name? Who set her up with this guy? It didn't last long, don't worry. Anyway, she's married to another professor. Except he's a professor of quantum mechanics. So, Baruch Hashem, min matzes mina. Anyway, the kids are. So, the second Baal Musa, is Adessa. He's unbelievable. Everything is conceptually organized and systematized. And he's got. Anyway, you must learn Adessa. That's in English, no? I'm pretty sure it's in English. I don't know if there's a little translation or not a little translation, but that's a beautiful translation. Well, then?
Not at all.
Not at all. Okay, and the third Baal Musa, I was there to meet, I think I told you, is the Mashgiach of Panovich, Rav Chatzkel. Rav Chatzkel Levinstein. I went to him for a bracha. I was also in that bracha what I call it? What I call the... Okay, let's not say that. The bow of the mashkiach. So go for brachas. Why should I bother learning? Because you'll get brachas. Buha! And I'll become a galavatar. Anyway, so kids are... So a few buhas, I know about them. Another few buhas, you're shabbos. Anyway, so anyway, don't mind my literature modality. The kids are, so the... I go to him. So he asked me if I learned basmada, Rabbi Schneider. What was I supposed to answer that question? First, I didn't learn basmada. And not the kind of basmada he probably wanted. So how can I answer that question, Rabbi Schneider? It's true, in history I learned four masechtes. But that was not basmada. I just learned. There's nothing else to do. What else am I going to do there? I had no iPhone, no smartphone, no movies, no nothing. Not even buses going to Yerushalayim, except twice a day. What was I supposed to do? I was stuck there in the Beit Tzmacha. Incarcerated. So I learned. Four masechtes. Anyway, so he asked me, do you love my father? I didn't answer. He looks at me in Yiddish. You don't learn my smother, you want a bracha? I ran out of there, I ran for my life. He had steel eyes. I was afraid he would probably, I probably melt on the spot. Chan Hashem is Shonoma, so it would have been all over me. So I got out of there. So he had a moon in his hand. But he yodo the moon at Bar Shamash. Must be the Shamash. Okay, I've gone way beyond my what I'm supposed to do. But I appreciate the fact that you actually came and sat here. I hope you're not yet totally congealed. Probably both of you. But it was a schus and a pleasure. Wow. Kibbutz Avraham is a marvelous mitzvah. Halavai, your Baruch Hashem is love to have parents. They should be in great health. You should continue to connect with them. Love them profusely, profoundly. Do whatever you can to appreciate what they have, even though they probably don't agree with most of you. I didn't agree with my parents, so why should you agree with yours? You think my children agree with me? I always tell my wife, this is the joke. When I got married under the chuppah, I said to her, you know, I said to her, that I'm right 99% of the time, and maybe you're right 1% of the time. She couldn't believe I said such a thing, but I did. Today, I hope I'm right 1% of the time. I'm not even sure of that. So my children don't agree with me either. My grandchildren, forget about it. They think I'm a relic. You know what a relic is? Mm-hmm. You can find me in the Museum of Natural History. That's where you'll find me. If you look hard enough. Pre-Neanderthal man. Something along those lines. So good. You have to agree with your parents. So we have to be mechabed them. If you room there come, love them profusely, profoundly. Appreciate what they did for us. You can disagree with them. So do it nicely, respectfully, with all the sensitivity you can possibly muster. And Hashem will give you all, Mitz Hashem. Arichus Yom Beshonim. We're all going to come together to greet Moshiach Tzikenu. Herb Yomeinu. Amen. Amen.